You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rams Nation, what is going on? As always, it is your boy, your host, Sosa Cremenjas. I'm a fantasy analyst at PFF and your host here at the Locked On Rams podcast, your number one daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Rams and part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Before we dive into this Mailbag Friday episode, I wanted to remind you guys that winning your league starts with the right data. Vinny Iyer of The Sporting News provides you the edge you need in your fantasy football leagues. Locked On Fantasy Football is a daily podcast all year round, so your fantasy team never fails. Subscribe to the Locked On Fantasy Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to your final episode of the week, and we're going to put aside the running back talk for now when it comes to the Los Angeles Rams and here at the Locked On Rams podcast, but we do have a mailbag to dive into. I asked you guys, as always, to send over some good questions, and I took a quick peek at some of these, and they look pretty interesting. Of course, you know, some are about running backs, and some are just generic questions that are solid like always, so we should have some fun in this episode. But before we get into all of that, I just wanted to let you guys know we're going to continue to remain in podcast form on every single platform that we're currently on, but we also have some good news. We're going to be debuting our YouTube platform here shortly, probably in the coming weeks. I'm going to keep you guys updated on that. But yeah, we're also going to be on YouTube in video form if that's how you guys choose to digest this podcast. Of course, it's going to be a daily thing there as well. So again, you guys can still remain, you know, if you want to listen to us in your car on a commute or whatever, which I know a lot of you guys probably do, that'll still be thumbs up. I appreciate you guys for listening and supporting, of course. But if you do prefer video format, we will also be on YouTube in the coming weeks. So I'll keep you guys updated on that. But until we get there, we got these questions to first dive into. So we'll get into these first. Now, I'm going to go top down from the ones that were shot over to me. And the first one is from at Big Blackenstein, my guy Isaiah. He said, history shows under McVay, rookies aren't thrust into duty early. With Nasimba, Webster getting waived, and Cam Akers going down, will Tutu be forced into a role that we don't normally see from rookies? Or do you expect someone else to step up and get punt return and kick return duties? And I think it's going to be Tutu Atwell's job to lose, to be quite honest with you. Maybe not as a kick returner. I think we still got to find out who's going to be the favorite for that job. But when it comes to the punt returner duties, you know, I think that's clear cut, you know, right now, Tutu Atwell's job to lose. And then you also mentioned Cam Akers getting injured. I hinted at it a little bit, I want to say maybe two or three podcasts ago, but now, you know, maybe Tutu Atwell finds his way onto the field on offense a little bit more, maybe coming out of the backfield a little bit like they tried with Tavon Austin for a tiny sliver of time there. That would maybe make some sense to get a guy that's explosive on the field, especially if you want a guy that's going to catch the ball out of the backfield. Of course, you know, it's not going to be his main role, I don't think, but now, you know, there's a few more snaps open on offense. Of course, you know, the special teams roles are question marks right now. So I think Atwell will be one of those guys that gets a little bit more run early as opposed to the many rookies that haven't played a lot for Sean McVay. But it's really anyone's job to lose at this point, and it's anyone's guess to see, you know, who's going to look the best doing it throughout training camp and, of course, going out there and doing it in these preseason games. The next one's from my guy, Will, at Will Carella. He said, Hendo and Akers each had their turn as the guy in 2020 and had about the same yards per carry. The difference was their volume of carries. Hendo reached 20-plus carries just once while Akers did it multiple times. Why did the Rams seem less willing to feed Hendo? Is that an indictment on him? I'm not 100% certain. You know, I wish I had the answer to this question. And I think a lot of us were in this same spot where we were kind of curious why they went away from the running game so often. I mean, there were games where the Rams were going into a game against like the Miami Dolphins, for example, who I remember vividly were a top five pass defense, but were one of the worst run defenses in football. And Sean McVay goes into that game with this pass heavy scheme and game plan for the week, and Jared Goff absolutely implodes. The Rams lose the game, of course. They look horrible doing it. And you come out of that game wondering, why the hell did the Rams not run the ball more? We all knew the Dolphins cannot stop the run, and it feels like a galaxy brain attempt at trying to out-scheme a defense when it's so simple. They can't stop the run. Make them prove that they can stop you on the ground before you go to the passing game. So I think that's just one of the confusing parts of this offense, at least throughout the past, you know, 3 years since Sean McVay's really taken over, 4 years now. So, you know, I'm not really sure why they did that. Maybe they don't think Henderson can handle that big workload week after week after week. And if that's the case, then of course they need to find somebody beside him now or behind him who can rotate in and take some of those snaps and some of those touches, of course, and a little bit of that punishment to help prolong both of these guys. But it's a very good question. I do not have the answer, unfortunately, but I think we're going to find out really quick what the Rams think of Darrell Henderson this season, because if they still don't give this guy the rock, you know, 20 plus times or 18 plus times consistently, then maybe they just view him as one of these change of pace guys and not really a featured runner. The next one is from Darren at OneRamsFan6. He said, anybody that knows the NFL realizes running backs are extremely replaceable. Who is not replaceable on the 2021 Rams? I say Matthew Stafford and Aaron Donald. End of discussion. That's another good question. And I do agree, running backs are very replaceable. I mean, if you guys were Rams fans in 2018, which I'm sure the majority of you were, Todd Gurley, the guy everyone said was running back one in football that year, or right around those years, you know, the best running back in football, Pro Bowl or this and that, all these different things, he was replaced by CJ Anderson, who the Rams signed off the freaking street. This guy was literally sitting on his couch a week prior, and no offense to him, but he clearly was not in great shape. And the offense and the running game did not skip a beat. So it's very clear that this guy knows what he's talking about here. Running backs are very replaceable. Now, who do I think is not replaceable on the Rams? Of course, Matthew Stafford, like you said, Aaron Donald again. But I think one more player has to be there, Jalen Ramsey. This guy's just different. I mean, he's the cornerback one in football. He lets you do so many different things schematically. Of course, you know, you can shift your focus away from Ramsey when it comes to, you know, your coverage and all that kind of stuff. So this guy's not only an incredible player, but he's going to wash out and basically shadow wide receiver ones week after week and erase those guys for the most part. And not only that, but then you don't really have to worry about giving him more help consistently. And that allows you to really just shift away and give help to the other guys who may not be as good. So I don't think you can find a way to replace that guy if, you know, God forbid he gets hurt or something happens. I really think you'd be in a tough spot. But yeah, I tend to think, you know, there's three players on the Rams right now that are irreplaceable. First is the quarterback, of course, which is going to be the case for, you know, about 30 NFL teams if your quarterback's decent. And then the two Hall of Fame level players that they have on the defensive side of the ball. I don't think you can replace those guys regardless of how hard you try, you know, barring anything crazy happening this season. That's going to do it for this first segment, but make sure to check back for the second segment when we continue to dive into some running back talk as well as the tight end position. We're going to take a look at who may take that field stretching role in this group. And while we've got you here at the Locked On Rams podcast, make sure to check back in next week when training camp officially kicks off for the Los Angeles Rams. The fitness industry is designed to confuse you, and I know that firsthand because over the last 2.5-3 years at this point, I've lost 155 pounds, and you're going to hear all kinds of weird things coming from the left, coming from the right. Do this diet, do this training. If you guys are looking to lose weight, maximize your protein intake and move any way you find desirable. One of those ways that you can get that protein intake every day is by checking out our sponsor at Built Bar. They have by far the best protein bars I've ever tried. And I'm telling you guys, I've tried all of them. The texture is absolutely unlike any other protein bar out there. And they have so many different flavors, all of which taste great, by the way, that you can design your box. You can pick and choose which flavors you prefer. And there are so many to choose from. I mean, the selections are never ending. They're also healthy, they're low in calories, they're low in sugar, they're high in fiber, and if you're on the keto diet, they even work for you. You even get a free cooler with your purchase while the supplies last. All you have to do is just go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Welcome back to the second segment here of this final episode of this week at the Locked On Rams podcast. We're going to pick right back up where we left off. No time to waste. And this first one is from at DrewBala77. He said, with Gerald Everett out and Jacob Harris in, do you foresee Harris playing the same type of role Everett played, sort of like a field stretching tight end role with a big play ability? Or do you think he will mostly be used in a red zone offense as a big 50-50 catch kind of guy? And it's really anyone's guess. I mean, I tend to think that Jacob Harris is probably not going to be used a ton this season, and the tight end two spot in general probably not going to be used a ton, maybe, you know, in the range of 200 to 300 receiving yards, maybe, you know, 3 or 4 touchdowns just by way of a couple red zone shots. But I don't really think they're really going to rely on that tight end two spot a ton. And if they do, of course, there's still Bryson Hopkins who may win that job as opposed to Jacob Harris. So there is competition there, first of all. And second of all, are they really going to use the spot a ton? Maybe. I mean, depends on who you ask. I tend to think they're probably going to go a little bit closer to that 11 personnel offense where you want to trot out three receivers and things like that. But, you know, if we're looking at Jacob Harris in a vacuum, this is a guy who I think is going to be utilized in the red zone, like you said, as that big 50-50 catch guy. Maybe a few shots down the field if you want to get a guy with some size out there. And not only that, but I mean, who knows? He might beat Bryson Hopkins over the next few weeks for that tight end two job. And if he does, man, this guy might be somebody that actually creeps up on teams as a unknown weapon when it comes to the Rams offense. And we do know that they like to use two tight ends in the past. So it's certainly possible. I just don't think there's going to be enough volume for that tight end two spot for either of these guys to really stand out. The next one is from my guy, Dennis at DBrez6. He said, the loss of K-Makers is tough, but I think Hendo and company will get the job done. Who do you think is the hardest non-QB to replace in the NFL not named Aaron Donald? Wow, that is a tough question to answer. And of course, the quarterbacks are the most important, like you mentioned. So if we put those guys aside, it really comes down to the superstar talents that are left over. And at that point, it's like, you know, how do you replace, of course, you mentioned Aaron Donald again, kind of removing him from the equation. How do you replace a Jalen Ramsey or a Jair Alexander or, you know, some of these elite wide receiver weapons, maybe like a Julio Jones or a DeAndre Hopkins or, you know, Davante Adams maybe. I mean, Green Bay, good luck trying to replace that guy. He's scoring, you know, 18 touchdowns last year or 17, however many it was. I think I was making plays left, right, and center. So I tend to go with guys that are just going to be at the elite tier of players. Myles Garrett, the, you know, Joey Bosa's, the Nick Bosa's, all these guys that are just so freaking good at what they do. And really, it's a toss-up. I mean, you could make a case, I feel like, for 25 different players probably. I'm just looking at the best of the best at every single position across the board, regardless of which one you want. And of course, the higher value positions are going to come first. So the cornerbacks, the wide receivers, the left tackles, the pass rushers, those guys versus, you know, the running backs, the tight ends, the linebackers, the safeties that are probably going to come right after. But man, that's a good question. And I feel like, you know, we could dedicate an entire episode to this one because there are so many good players in this league and none of them are easy to replace when it comes to it. So a good, good question, but that is a tough one to answer too. The next one is from my guy, JB at JB_peoples. Not putting me on the spot again. I like this. He said, you're able to bring back either Marshall Faulk or Steven Jackson in their prime to replace Cam Akers for the upcoming season. Who are you choosing? And that's a good question. And ironically enough, it's also Steven Jackson's birthday. As I'm recording this while you guys are listening, it's going to be his belated birthday. But happy birthday to the legend, Steven Jackson, man. This guy is one of the most underappreciated players in NFL history. It's honestly a shame that he didn't get to play on any good teams because, I mean, it was so forgettable for anyone who was not a Rams fan. You probably don't remember a damn play from Steven Jackson's career because nobody was watching the 1-15 St. Louis Rams, so just a true shame. But this guy was so freaking good. He had 8 1,000-yard seasons in a row. One of very few players to ever do that in a career. And not only that, but he's the only player in NFL history with 1,400 rushing yards and 800 or more receiving yards in a season. I seen that cool statistic today for his birthday, which is obviously very cool. But I would have to go with Marshall Faulk. I mean, I think when you make the case for a top three or top five running back list in NFL history, Marshall Faulk has to be on that list. He, in my opinion, is a clear-cut top five running back in NFL history. I don't know that Steven Jackson is one of those guys. He's probably a top, you know, 15 guy, maybe a top 20 guy, whatever the case is. A legend in his own right, and a guy that I definitely think should make the Hall of Fame. Maybe won't, I'm not really sure. But Marshall Faulk is just a different kind of guy. I mean, this guy is cut from a different cloth. One of the greatest running backs ever. He could run in between the tackles, outside of the tackles. He could catch the football better than most wide receivers. A true dual threat weapon. And I mean, this guy in Sean McVay's offense, you're talking about a quarterback that would be willing to throw him the ball. An offense that would probably flex him out wide and let him operate as a receiver. Oh my Lord, I really think Marshall Faulk, if he got enough volume, could see like 2,500 plus scrimmage yards. So dude is special. Steven Jackson is special in his own right. I would go with Marshall Faulk, but I mean, you really cannot go wrong because I think both of these guys are Hall of Fame players and both legends in their own right. The last question for this segment is from my guy, Jason at Turbo Fargo. He said, who do you think will be this year's training camp darling or star, but in reality not get much rookie time on the field, sort of like a Van Jefferson from last season? Also, when are we getting the Sosa K Nutrition and Workout YouTube channel? You know what? I've thought about doing that many times, and I'm sure at some point I probably will. It's just tough when you're so busy. It's like, you know, you got to dedicate your time properly to these things that matter. And when it's, you know, all said and done, you don't have all this time left over. And then it's really like, oh, how much time can I offer this and that? And, you know, it just gets difficult. So I'm sure it'll come someday. When, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm quite certain that I probably will do it someday. Now, in terms of the actual training camp darling, that's a good question. I feel like typically it's somebody on offense because, I mean, you can't really, you know, prove yourself as a pass rusher or as a pass protector in training camp. It's so tough to do that because you just don't consistently get to go 100% at each other. So typically for me, it's usually like a receiver or a pass catcher of some sort. And I'm going to go with Jacob Harris. I mean, you talk about a guy that's going to be big, fast, strong, got pretty good hands. He can make guys, you know, go the wrong way when it comes to running his routes. He can create separation. He can go get contested catches. This guy seems like the type of player that is going to stand out in training camp and maybe not really get a ton of run as much as we would expect in the regular season, sort of like you mentioned Van Jefferson last year. Not to knock him that he's not a good player, but, you know, there's only so many snaps to go around. There's only so much playing time to go around. So that might be something that holds him back next season. But, I mean, you even go back to the mini camps and OTAs, Jacob Harris was a name that was frequently talked about as one of the players that stood out. So if we're going to go with somebody on offense as a pass catcher, which I think is probably the best bet, I got to go with Jacob Harris on this one. That's going to do it for this second segment of the questions, but make sure to tune back in for the final segment when we dive into the final few questions, when I break down some of the other running backs on this roster, as well as maybe an interesting linebacker to look out for. And make sure to check back in next week for the official kickoff for the Los Angeles Rams at Training Camp 2021. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, are Texas and Oklahoma headed for the SEC? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back to the final segment here of this Mailbag Friday episode of the Locked On Rams pod. I'm your host, Sosa Cremenges, and we're going to dive into these final few questions, and there are some good ones, so let's get right into it. The first one is from Kevin Johnson at KingKJ1962. He said, a name I haven't heard mentioned in the running back carousel is undrafted free agent Otis Anderson Jr. He has a similar height and weight to Cam Akers. Every year, there's one running back who comes out of nowhere to make a name for himself. What percent chance do you give him to make the roster, and can he contribute? So I pulled up some of the PFF statistics here. He went to school at UCF, which I believe was also where Jacob Harris went to school. So kind of cool that these two guys know each other. In terms of his size, definitely a lot smaller than Cam Akers. Comes in at 5'11", 175. So presumably you would think he's a scat back, change of pace type of guy. Mind you, I've never seen him play, so probably not wise of me to say that because I really don't know how he looks running the football or playing. But when you look at the numbers, the guy looked pretty good. I mean, the PFF grades look pretty decent. His offensive grades by year, 78.0 this past season, 75.8 in 2019, 65.8 in 2018, and 81.7 in 2017, his first season as a collegiate player. And I mean, this is a guy that clearly was able to do a little bit of everything out of the backfield. 2,179 career rushing yards, as well as 17 touchdowns. That's pretty good for 6.1 yards per carry. And also 91 receptions for 1,022 receiving yards, 1.72 yards per route run, which is pretty decent for a running back. Clearly a guy that can do a little bit of everything. I mean, you talk about the ability to gain 10 plus yard runs. He has 61 of those in his career. 69 missed tackles forced over the course of his career. The grades look pretty good. Ran a little bit of zone scheme stuff, a little bit of gap scheme stuff, almost equal, 193 to 155. Can come out of the backfield and catch, can run. So clearly a guy that I think we probably should look out for. And my mistake for not even mentioning him, because this might be a guy that actually carves himself out a role in this backfield. Of course, you know, it's hard to say how close he is to making the roster. Right now, I would say the chances are probably, you know, 60% maybe, 70% maybe. I'm not really sure. But at the same time, are they going to add another player at this position? You know, if they do, then obviously his chances are going to go down significantly. But right now, it seems like they're happy with who they have. If that's the case, then I give him a pretty decent chance to make the roster, maybe 60 or 70%. If they add someone, that's obviously going to go down a lot. But right now, they got five running backs. It's anyone's guess to who's going to grab that fourth or fifth spot. They might keep five guys. They might keep four guys. Hey, who knows? But this guy is clearly someone I think we should look out for. And the grades pretty much suggest that when you look back to them in his collegiate career. Another player to look out for is this next question from Siege at CJ Ram Clip. He said, heard Christian Roseboom is the Rams' best kept secret at middle linebacker. Is this true? And again, I have not gotten to ever watch this guy play, which is unfortunate because, you know, I wish I could truly break down everything I could tell you from the tape that I see with my own eyes because I trust my eyes more than anyone else's. But this guy's 6'2", 230, undrafted guy, 4 years in college, very good grading. I mean, 2019, 88.3 defensive PFF grade, 77.3 in 2018, 80.2 again in 2017. So clearly this guy has got some game to him. Now, what was the level of competition? Not great. I mean, South Dakota State Jackrabbits, I've never even heard of that college, so probably not exactly going against a ton of NFL talent, but he only allowed 75.3% of his targets to be actually caught as reception, so that's a pretty decent figure. 10.2 yards per reception, that's a little bit high, but you know, it's not the worst thing. Only two touchdowns allowed in his collegiate career, with six of his own interceptions and five pass breakups, and only a 73.2 passer rating allowed in his coverage. So this is clearly a guy that dominated his competition, but is that a big step up to the NFL? Of course it is, but is it going to be too much, or can he actually translate and hang with these guys? And, you know, again, we've never gotten to see him play. We never got to see him in the preseason last year because, of course, they had no preseason. But this guy is definitely someone to look out for. I mean, if there's any one position that a random name or an undrafted free agent might crack and get a role or actually a starting job, it's definitely linebacker. And this is a guy that apparently the Rams have been high on for a while now. And if that's the case, certainly going to be a guy that we have to look out for throughout these preseason games. And I mean, the grading suggests that this guy can play at the NFL level. But again, it's anyone's guess right now. I'm going to definitely keep my eyes on this guy to see how he plays throughout these preseason games because, man, there is going to be a heavy, heavy competition at this spot throughout the next few weeks. The second to last question here is from @LogLopes. He said, do you think we see Matthew Stafford in the preseason at all? I don't think so. You know, it's just too risky in my opinion. Sean McVay's always been a guy that likes to bench his starters and not start him in the preseason, so doesn't really strike me as a guy that's now going to want to trot out, you know, a 33-year-old quarterback if Jared Goff was never out there. Of course, I understand he's new. You probably want to get some of the chemistry down, some of the timing down, get some reps together, but I don't know. It's just not worth it in my opinion. I think you're talented enough as a football team to just sort of let that happen and develop over the first few weeks of the season. And, you know, if you obviously lose those games because you're just not ready, of course, it's going to hurt, but it's not the end of the world. I mean, you're good enough to still survive and maybe even win some games if you're not at your best. That's my opinion. And I, of course, trust these guys to just get the chemistry down anyways. I mean, we're not talking about very young players. We're talking about Matthew Stafford and DeSean Jackson and Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. These guys have all been in the NFL for 5, 6, 7, 10 plus years. So there's not exactly too much worry from my end. Of course, it's something to note, but I just don't think it's worth trotting these guys out in preseason. So doesn't make sense to me. It could happen, but I'm going to guess that Sean McVay is not going to go ahead and do that. The final question here is a little bit of a different one. It's from my guy, Maury, @MauryRU. He said, I got a mailbag question for you. When are you taking a vacation? As I feel like I've been listening to your podcast every day since the onset of COVID. And where do you go? What do you like to do to unwind and get away from football? Love every episode. Keep bringing it. Maury, I appreciate that, my man. I don't know that a vacation's on the horizon, unfortunately, for me. You know, they say you don't have to take a break or you never feel like you work when you do something you love, whatever the saying is, something like that. You never feel like you're going to work a day in your life. And that's not necessarily true. You know, work is work. Everyone's got to freaking work. We got to pay our bills and it's always going to be something tiring, right? It's never going to be as easy as kicking your feet up in Cabo and drinking a freaking alcoholic drink and having a Cuban in the other hand. But I feel pretty good. I feel refreshed right now. I got a few months to sort of wind down, do an episode per day. Wasn't writing so much at PFF. So, you know, I feel recharged and the season's coming right back around here in about a week or two. So, you know, the vacation time for me and for everyone in this sports media NFL world, it's over. I mean, it's time to go now. So, it doesn't seem like there's going to be a vacation for me, but at the same time, I don't feel like I need one. You know, I feel energized. I feel refreshed and I'm a young guy, you know, so we can keep it going. But in terms of what do I do outside of football, I mean, I'm a pretty boring dude, to be honest with you. I love football. It consumes like 95% of my life. Outside of that, you know, I like sports in general. I like soccer or football, as our European fans call it. I like watching basketball, of course, the Toronto Raptors. You know, I like working out as well. Working out is something I do every single day. So keep me, you know, physically fresh and just keep me kind of mentally locked in as well. Makes me feel amazing. So I like to do that. But outside of that, you know, I'm just a regular guy. I like to hang out with my friends, you know, grab an alcoholic beverage every now and again. Nothing too crazy, nothing too interesting. I kind of don't really even need to unwind or wind down. My way of getting away is just getting in the gym and locking in for 2 hours, forgetting that everything exists, and just going hard there, man, because it's just something different. It's like a challenge, but a challenge that feels so good, and it feels so nice to see yourself physically progress and mentally progress, because you got to be able to push yourself, and it's always a nice conquering feeling, I guess, when you get out of that gym. So that's pretty much it for me. You know, we're going to be back at it again next week, and it's going to be full go from there. There is no stopping now. Training camp is right around the corner. The Los Angeles Rams kick off on the 28th of July, so I believe that's next Wednesday. We're going to get in our final training camp preview for the secondary members, and then it's all systems go. We're going to update you guys every single day on everything that's happening at training camp. The standouts, who's getting certain reps, who's getting the starting spots, who's not looking so good. Of course, injuries. Hopefully, there's not many of those at all, but we're going to keep you guys 100% updated, so make sure to check back in every single episode from now until the start of the season. It's all systems go. Football is officially back, and let's go, because I'm excited. It feels great to have this finally back. Just a reminder, you guys can come connect with us on Twitter. You can find me at QBsMEP and the page at Locked On Rams. And please subscribe or follow to get our latest episodes, content, breaking news, and a whole lot more.